This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of the Kenyan Wall Street Podcast. My name is Eric Jackson, and I'm going to be your host today. So today we have an interesting guest that's going to help me talk about the art of storytelling for brands. My guest is a startup founder in Nairobi. Her name is Rachel Kendi. So I'll let her tell us more about her company and what they do.
Thank you so much for having me, Eric. It's quite a pleasure. So my name is Kendi Perpetual, and for the last 7 years, I have been running Adelstone Marketing and PR. And what we do is we are able to enable brands communicate their impact and strategy, mostly to the community of different audiences. And so we work mostly with financial and tech companies. And so with them is because there's the financial impact, and with tech, there's a lot of innovation around technology. And so those two have been our pillar in terms of what we enable brands communicate.
Thank you. Thank you for that introduction. And maybe just to then start our discussion is a little background on why it is important to tell stories, especially for brands, more so for startups, given that when you're starting out a new company, not many of your clients have heard about the product. So why is it important that startup founders tell a good story?
All right. So first and foremost, we'll talk about the storytelling, and then we'll talk about the impact of the storytelling. So what storytelling does is storytelling brings out the genesis of a product or a service, but in a very interesting way. So it doesn't come out as advertising. So it makes people understand the impact more and enables the consumer gain influence on how to consume the product. So at the end of the day, the reason why people would want to give stories in different ways and in different avenues is because at the end of the day, they want to drive sales. And so our market currently has become incredibly attractive to a wide variety of entrepreneurs who want to impact both socially and economically. And so with storytelling, it enables them to take them to the next level, either being known more or being able to drive their sales more. So these entrepreneurs, mostly in the startup, so their need mostly is probably to fundraise or probably to sell. And so with storytelling, they enable people buy, or investors in this case, or consumers buy their product more, but in a very gentle way, as opposed to advertising, where people can be a bit more resilient in buying.
And also I think it's also interesting because for early stage startups, word of mouth is really, really a powerful tool in gaining consumers. And again, that's driven by stories. So what would you characterize as the key elements that startups need to focus on early on when they are telling their stories?
So I would probably think of telling a story or a narrative that enables the consumers to connect or to be appealed more by their product. By people keep talking or hearing about a particular product. So for example, averagely people say you can buy a product when you've seen it around 3 to 5 times, either on news, you know, being talked about, or in influencer marketing, how they're now doing, where people keep talking about this brand. And what it does, it curates questions, and you know, people want to know more about the product, but it's because of people hearing more about it in stories, online, and more of the digital part of it.
And so you've touched slightly on influencer marketing and you know, the digital aspect of storytelling and marketing or public relations as a whole. And this is a field that really changed over the last few years. So in your everyday work, how have you seen PR change over the last 5 or so years? And what do you think have been some of the biggest drivers for that change?
Quite interesting. So maybe I could start from 2020, going back on how the process has really evolved to where we are. So 5 years ago, people started buying the influencer marketing thing, yeah? But people were buying more on the bigger you are, the more you are attractive to clients working with you and everything.
Yeah.
That's 5 years ago. But right now we are looking at brands are more interested in the micro influencers who probably don't have a lot of influencers, but what they do have is a community of people who actually really believe in them.
Yeah.
So these people are known to be more authentic. So people, these are influencers who are not run by numbers, but run more of authenticity. So they have this small community whom people just can quickly buy simply because they know, you know what, she's truthful to her word and she's not here to please brands and everything. So the micro influencers, interestingly, in 2020 have gained more audience when it comes to brands working with them. And so these micro influencers again have turned more into storytelling through TikTok, through YouTube, where they do stories and give experiences of themselves. For example, we could talk about brand influencers who are working with sanitary towels, for example. So there was a big backlash when it comes to especially our country with the kind of sanitary towels in the country.
Last year.
And so the influencers themselves who are even working with these brands, they still went on to bash the product. And so these products this year, what they did more is they worked more with the micro, who are not as big, but these people have communities who really believe in them. And so they now evolved into making YouTube videos, but giving their personal journeys and experiences. They do short, funny, interesting videos on TikTok that people feel like it's a trend, and they run with that, as compared to how people used to spend millions and millions and millions on advertising budgets, especially when people don't want to watch TV anymore, people want to watch content that has been curated for them. And I mean, this can be, for example, most of the youths have more advanced avenues.
So maybe to pick up from the last discussion, and you've mentioned a lot about authenticity and just brands connecting to consumers, you know, where they are. So what does that mean for mainstream ways of communication and public relations, like think about TV and and print and the likes, given that, as you mentioned, most youths have moved to their mobile phone and their devices, and they're curating more content on different platforms.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. So currently there are new ways of telling stories, and more of them are more digital and more technological driven. And so we could start by probably mentioning, we can get a scope of a family setup, yeah? And then we divide the setups into target markets, because we want to look, for example, at brands. How do they want to communicate the information to a family, but these families, they're divided into very different generations, yeah? So for example, right now for the children, let's say for example the children are more technically, more tech savvy, yeah, as compared to the older generation and to our parents. And so the children now, the kind of cartoons and the kind of even the small, the children 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, they're watching the kind of content that has been created for them is very illustrative, yeah? So you see there's a lot of 3D animation done around songs and done around stories that were initially put on paper, on books, yeah? So these children are the biggest target market that when in the next, say, 15 to 20 years, it will, everything on how to communicate to them will and should be tech driven, because that's what they've seen from when they were so young, and so they'll appreciate more the AI enabled, you know, product, and they'll be very quick and receptive to products that are more tech driven. They will not want to read hard newspapers, they want something that can pop on their text message and on their WhatsApp and all these applications that they don't want any hassle apart from being, you know, they can get everything on their gadgets. And so we are looking at a market where the children are products that have been curated for them, which are way, you know, technologically driven. And then there's the young generation who, especially with 2020, where they said where there was, where we would have been in terms of working from home, we could only have gotten there 15 years from now if it was not for COVID. So the young generation now has appreciated working from home, and now they're getting that as the new behavioral changes. And so when brands are communicating to this generation, how are they communicating to them, and where are they communicating to them, and where do they find them? Most of the younger generation, according to TikTok, for example, reports, they said the young generation spend approximately 50 minutes a day on TikTok. This is way above what Facebook and Twitter. And so this TikTok avenue is an avenue where there's a lot of engagement and audience engagement that can be built by brands to reaching out to this generation. When it comes to the generation just above that, we're seeing more of them, for example, when it comes to accessing information, and that would be they're more interested in news, in sports, in what's happening. They're signing up more for news and everything on their tablets and on their laptop as compared to buying the actual newspaper. So we are looking at printing business really being seriously affected in the next 3 to 5 years and almost out. It will still have its market, but of course it will not be an avenue of making, you know, as much sales as a digital platform where everybody will be given, for example, everybody will have access to newspapers from their from SMSing. And so all these audiences, if you're trying to reach them from television, right now we just want to watch news. I mean, by the time we watch news, it's all on Twitter. So what news exactly are we watching? The younger generation, that kind of news content is so different from the kind of news that has been curated right now. They're more entertainment based kind of news, and so that they can get from Twitter, they can get from Reddit, they can get, you know, and so it's different right now, and so the target audiences have changed, and so that should also be the same.
Okay, interesting. Maybe just to follow up, how can we use tech to improve public relations and storytelling in general?
So we're looking at brands using targeted audience and the right metrics. So by targeted audience, we're talking about digital footprints that are able to track who has seen your product or your story, where it's been seen, how many times it's been seen, everything about the person who's seen it. And by this, they're able to do through, you know, media monitoring tools. And so there are right metrics on how to do this through, and so how are you able to communicate your brand to your audience? It's through things like what they're calling now the next big thing, which is the voice, and and this you're able to access through podcasts and through online interviews. And with this is you're able to interact with someone's voice so much, and it's almost like how before we used to get these adverts on other people, but selling a different brand. Now we are getting the owner of the brand talking about the brand, and so people seem to be able to buy that more, especially without even the visibility of the person, just the voice. It's said to be one of the big things that will take over the public relations, because people have been reading more, so you read, but you don't have a face to it, or you don't have a voice to it. So people are talking about podcasts and online interviews, really taking up the space of targeted audience when it comes to PR. And so with this, it will enable brands or clients to be able to choose a targeted type of content that at the end of the day enables them to drive their sales.
Awesome. And it's interesting that you've mentioned podcasts, given that we are doing one right now. It would be interesting to see more and more brands, you know, doing more podcast series to just tell us about their products and their company and basically what they do. So maybe as we come to the end of the discussion, I know that you recently launched Gora News service, which is a tech-enabled product that is changing how, you know, brands view public relations. So maybe can you just tell us what Gora is and how you're changing the PR landscape here in Africa?
Absolutely. So Ogora.news is an online virtual platform that is actually a virtual PR agency. So you log in into Ogora.news and you're able to see all the services that you would have ideally had a PR agency to do for you. And so we wanted an efficient and fast way for brands to be able to reach to their audiences mm-hmm. across Africa mm-hmm. by just a click of a button. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is it's actually more business. It's a business related site where mm-hmm. we're only doing stories or content distributors are only mm-hmm. doing stories which are more business related. Mm-hmm. And so how we want to change the PR mm-hmm. aspect through Ogra.news mm-hmm. is we want when a PR or a communications person is seated, for example, in Nigeria or mm-hmm. in Kenya or in South Africa, mm-hmm. they're able to broadcast their content or their press release mm-hmm. to different countries all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So we have a pool of journalists and a mm-hmm. pool of content distributors mm-hmm. in our platform mm-hmm. that immediately receive the press release mm-hmm. and distribute it immediately. Mm-hmm. And within 48 hours, mm-hmm. the news is all out in all digital platforms that the user decides to use. And so, yeah, it's more of an efficient and way cost-effective. Mm-hmm. And this platform, agencies, even PR agencies, can access it and mm-hmm. and do PR for different brands in different mm-hmm. countries, other than losing on business because they're not based in a different country. And so that's the effectiveness of the product.
Yeah, and as you said initially in our discussion, COVID has really accelerated how businesses, you know, use and view technology.
Yeah.
It's actually quite timely, you know, your innovation that brands can or agencies can use Ogora.news to basically use it as their go-to source for PR across the continent.
Yes, yes. That's true. And something else is because during the COVID, brands mm-hmm. really cut a lot of their budgets
yeah.
when it goes to, interestingly, some cut, some are built on mm-hmm. their budgets and, mm-hmm. and most of them cut. Mm-hmm. And so by cutting off the budgets mm-hmm. with Ogra.news, we're able, with whatever kind of budget you have, we mm-hmm. are able to access the site
mm-hmm.
and with at least $50. And for, of course, for premium publications comes at a cost. However, at the end of the day, brands are able to reach out to different audiences that are of their priority all across Africa.
Thank you very much, Kendi, for this wonderful discussion. And we are looking forward to see Ogora.news and how it will change PR.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a good day.
You too, bye.
Bye.